Howdy, folks. This is Larry Weissoon, and welcome to our show. This segment is brought to you by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tech's Electric Smokers, and Ultramatic Feeders.
Well, folks, we've been talking a lot of hunting, as always, but we're also all about fishing, too. Let's head up to Texoma. Now, my longtime friend Bill Carey, Striper Express. A lot of you fish with Bill. The ones that haven't, I know it would be odd to know about Texoma and not know about Striper Express, but fishing has been, as they say, off the chains, and old Bill's going to tell us what's going on. Bill, thank you, buddy, for taking some of your time to update everybody today.
Well, good morning, Luke, and all y'all out in radio land.
Good morning to you, sir. I've been seeing the pictures that you post on, that you've been posting Striper Express pictures there on Facebook. Not only lots of stripers, but some big ones. And you were talking earlier, you know, a week or two ago, we were talking, the pattern has jumped forward for a month. The striper pattern, the summer pattern, you say.
Yes, sir. Yep. You know, usually right now it goes full blown top water. We anticipate that bite. But, Luke, it started, the first week of June, and we've been on top waters all month. It's just the fish are grouped up. You know, it usually takes a while to get grouped up after the spawn. They come down into the main lake, and then the slab run starts, and then the top water starts with the slab run, and it's been both. It has been so much fun. Lots of numbers.
Yeah.
Doggone good size.
Yes. That's what I noticed on the pictures that you've been sending, you know. And, you know, you probably can tell, you know, I'm going to ask this question. You probably know it before I ask it. Down there when the summer pattern from past years, when those stripers gang up down there in the lower lake in huge, huge schools and begin those runs out from the banks, the shores, has that program, and that's when a lot of people slab, has that, I think you said it's underway.
It sure is, buddy. It is just unbelievable. We're still going out at 5:30 a.m. The closest school is 10 miles, and the furthest is about 20. So you get a nice boat ride out there, and when you get out there, you start looking for the splashes, and you try and easily get out there and get on those fish. Everybody needs to mind their manners, and they will stay up and run for a whole hour.
Boy, that's the way to kick it off, and you can catch a bunch of stripers in that first hour and a half of daylight. Some of the, not to say it's all also the most pleasant time of day to fish, right?
Yes, sir. And it's summertime, so I always joke, you don't want to make a wrong turn. You're fighting the clock here because these old fish will take a siesta, and they will knock off between 10:30 and 11:30. So you got to get her done, and it's a good way to start.
You bet. I'm all about frantic action. And, you know, Bill, something else, too. I was out at Fork fishing just a couple of days ago, and we started early, you know, and we were catfishing, you know. But I tell you what, honestly, it's one thing to be in an air-conditioned office or something and think about midday fishing, but when you're out there early and by about 11 o'clock, the truth of the matter is not many people – I mean, it's time to start thinking about heading out, heading back. And that's my opinion. And you better dress for it and, you know, have plenty of water. Summer fishing is a bit different than winter fishing, you know, just for those reasons.
Yes, sir. I tell folks, this is real easy. I say, we're going to board in the park 5:30. We're going to run 10 miles. We're going to get on the top water. Then they're going to sound, and they'll stay grouped up in big schools. And we switch over to slabs. And we start ripping slabs. Folks, that's just dropping a lead spoon over the side of the boat, hit the bottom, and reel up fast, and the fish will just about set the hook themselves. It is so much fun. And then it's all, you'll be catching. And I tell people, and then you won't be. And about 10:30, 11, you won't be. And when it's unanimous, get some wind in your face. Get back to the marina. Like I said, could be 20 miles away. And let your guide clean your catch. And laugh it up, shake hands, and go find some air conditioning and get under.
Bill, you are a smart man, buddy. Well, that comes from experience, and I agree with you. I think most of the folks listening to us agree that are veteran. There may be some 18-year-olds that think they should be out there, you know, middle of the day. But us old veterans, that's done it a lot. The fishing is prime early. And you know, I've started, of course, I'm fairly fair-skinned, person, and I've lucked out. I've spent a lifetime outside. I was a surveyor for many years, for a quarter century, and then during those times I was also a pretty active outdoor writer, and then I got more active as I retired from surveying. But what I'm getting at, I've spent a lot of time in the sun, and I've got to the point, Bill, where I wear there's fabrics now, long sleeve shirts that are really really fine fabrics. I'm not sure they're not cooler than short sleeves in these old cotton t-shirts I used to wear, you know. But
yeah,
that,
you're right.
And a big hat, you know, a wide brim hat. Get you one with the strap around it where it won't blow off your head when you're moving. But sunscreen, I would advise anyone to, not only fair skinned people, we're the most susceptible to damage from the sun, but anybody needs to really give some thought to that, you know.
Yeah, you really do, because, you know, we used to call it the ozone layer, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah, all right. Yep.
You know, you got to watch it out there in the sun, folks. Luke, you and I, guess, one of the lucky ones. When I was a kid, and I'd see the old guys with a crater on their nose where they dug out a little, I guess you could call it a skin cancer.
Yep.
When I hit 50, I went, well, maybe I got past that, and it's not going to happen. And it hasn't happened to me, so I'm very fortunate, and I'm glad you too. But, folks, you really do need to have a good hat. Like Luke said, they make UV-resistant shirts now. It's crazy. But wear a long-sleeve shirt if you can, light fabric, good cap. You know, I wear a big three-inch brim hat. I call it my Buona hat. And I have a suicide strap like you're talking about.
Mm-hmm, right.
And it will blow off every once in a while, but that strap, you wear it around your neck, and it holds it pretty good.
It does. And, you know, little things like that that those of us that's fished forever know about. I mean, yeah, a strap. That you can't appreciate a strap around your hat enough unless you've been out there and had 10 or 15 hats blow off, which I used to be notorious about, you know.
We made many U-turns, turn around, trying to net the hat. Sometimes they're there, and sometimes they're not.
You've netted a few of my caps, that's for dang sure. Well,
you know,
that's,
Luke, these fish are just on fire.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you all I can.
Yep. Well, that's awesome, bud. And this pattern, of course, it started a 4 weeks earlier than it normally does. But this pattern, do you expect the early morning frantic bite to hold, Bill?
Well, now is what we usually say is what we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
But it is happening. And, you know, another thing, too, we're pulling these fish out of some deep water on these slabs. So, luckily, we have our fish. You know, if you did your job and you got lucky, you've got your fish by the time you start catching these big fish. And what I'm saying is we can't catch and release this time of year. It's too hard on these
right,
fish.
Right, exactly.
You know, we let a 15-and-a-half-pounder go the other day, and she swam off, and about 30, 40 feet from the boat, she rolled up on her side.
Yep.
And so we went and got her, and we tried again, but they fight to the finish. These stripers will fight all the way to the boat, and, you know, they'll even take a nip at you when you're unhooking them.
Yep, I've always likened a striper to roosters, game roosters. They don't give up. They fight. I don't care if it's a 18-inch fish or a 18-pounder. You know, they fight all the way to the boat. And that is a good point, Bill. Get your fish caught. And, of course, Texoma is a natural stocking lake. I mean, they produce naturally there, and there's so many stripers. I have no qualms on bacon with sweet basil and garlic and salt and pepper and butter, baking some fillets or blackening some. I love striper to eat. And most of your clients take the fish back, take them some fish back to eat. That's just the way it's done up at Texoma, you know?
Yes, sir. First time I filmed with Jimmy Houston, 30-something years ago, I said, these fish are here to harvest. And, you know, we release all
yep.
smallmouth and largemouth.
Right.
And Jimmy cackled, and he goes, release them. I mean, here to harvest, huh? And I went, yes, sir. And he said, that sounds like an ESPN term if I've ever heard it.
Yeah. Well, they're such good eating fish. And, you know, we took a trip up on the East Coast a few years ago, flew into Boston, and then drove all the way up to northern Maine. And those seaside restaurants up there, striper It's a commercial fish, too. A lot of people don't know that, but they are, and they're not cheap. You go buy a striper, have that on your menu, well, you're going to fork over some bucks up there. But down here, we've got them. All we have to do is just get out there and catch them. Right, Bill?
You betcha. You know, we've talked about it. It is the crappie is the walleye of the South, and you and I agree that the striper would be right between them. It's a white, flaky, mild meat. And, you know, people, we ask their expectations, how many fish you want to keep, and, you know, just take care of them, top them off with water when you freeze them, and they're good as anything when you pull them out.
Love them. Absolutely love them. Well, folks, you can contact Bill and his team up there. StriperExpress.com is the website. Bill, what's the number for people? They're going to wind up talking to you anyway. They're going to need some information. How do they call you?
All right, folks, you can call us, and either myself or MT will answer the phone, and that's my gal that makes me look good, and that number is 903-786-4477. That's 903-786-4477.
Bill, thanks a lot, and either I'll get you back next week. I want to keep everybody tuned in on the stripers, or I'll give them a report from you, so we'll get updated next week. How about it?
All right, sir. Y'all have a great day. We're going fishing.
Folks, for the past 12 years, I have used my Smoking Texas electric smoker to cook literally hundreds of pounds of game meat and domestic meat. I've made sausage, jerky, cooked wild hog hams with them. They are absolutely awesome, and they're built to last. You can go to Smoking Texas, SmokinTex.com, and check out their line of smokers. There's different models, bigger ones and littler ones, depending on your needs. Or you can call Diz or Scott at 888-922-1511. Folks, I'd like to hook you up with Butcher Packer Supply. This company has everything you need for making jerky, sausage, curing meats at home, anything to do with home butchering. You can go online to butcher-packer, that's butcher-packer.com, and order everything that you need right there online. Folks, if you're looking to buy property at Lake Fork and the surrounding area, I want to hook you up with my friend Paul Tibbetts and his staff at Signature Properties. Your home is special, shouldn't your agent be? The folks at Signature Properties are specialists around the Lake Fork area. For more information, visit easttexasluxury.com. That's www.easttexasluxury.com. Or call Paul and his staff at 903-383-3530. That's 903-383-3530.